Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Crossroads Podcast today. We're blessed to have you here as we do part two of my two-part interview with Jess Tiffany. Now, Jeff is the CEO of Jess Tiffany Consulting and the Marketing Network University, which is an online business education platform up in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. He's also the author of the best-selling book, Growth Hacking, How to Strategically Grow Your Business Connections from $0 to $10,000 in 365 days. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up because he gave us a lot of information yesterday, and we don't have time to go back and cover it all again today. But today, he's going to be going into some things that will really help you grow your business, your ministry, your church, whatever it is you're trying to grow. He's going to be going over using social media to help grow your business, how to possibly outsource to a virtual assistant or a freelancer in order to help take care of those routine tasks. He's going to give you some other information on ways to grow your church, your ministry, and your business. Now, again, you need to go back and listen to yesterday's episode to catch up. But right now, we're jumping right back into the interview with Jess Tiffany. I know there is a lot of people that try to go on social media to, you know, make a huge impact on their business success, ministry success, whatever. And they'll spend money on Facebook ads and things like that. But when the results aren't what they expected or what they desired, you know, then they think, well, social media just doesn't work. What's the correlation between, say, the size of your following and the success of your business?
Yeah. Well, so my first thing would be to say that the ad wasn't resonating with the right audience. So doing those ads, because there are a lot of people that figure out ways where they can spend $1 to make $2 through social media advertisements. So it does work for a lot of businesses. But typically the big issue is the messaging is off or the targeting is wrong. Usually that's where you have the biggest problems. However, as far as the social aspect goes, there definitely is a correlation online with the amount of followers you have. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you can monetize attention, that's where you benefit. Like for me, I guess, you know, a lot of people kind of, you know, think I came out of nowhere, but no, I've been hustling for a long time. And, you know, before I started getting a lot of, you know, and LinkedIn doesn't allow you, only allows you up to 30,000 connections, and I'm at like 22,000 or whatever. But but you can get unlimited followers now, which is a change they made, so you can have more people follow you. But you can only get up to 22,000 connections. But it some people with 2,000 connections can make more money than the guy with, you know, tons and tons of connections.
Yeah.
Because it's about building relationships. However, there is kind of a thing where, like, for me now, I have so much out there that people come to me for business a lot. Mm-hmm. Kind of created this inflow of people coming to me because they've seen me, they've heard me, and they know what I stand for. So that happened because of the bulk, you know, or amount of people that I've worked with or connected to, or and I spend more time on LinkedIn than you should, you know, because I'm in there actually trying to generate conversations because I have a different goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, world domination. But no, I'm just kidding. There is something to be said about that. However, even with a few hundred connections or a few thousand connections, if you approach it right, you reach out and you build trust, you build friendships, you can do very well. My personal point of view is, why not do both? You know, why not have your tight personal circle? Like, I still go to networking meetings and I shake people's hands and I get their business card and then I connect to them on LinkedIn. So I maintain that tight circle. But my idea is, why not have the people I, you know, probably need to hire in the next 5 to 10 years already being nurtured by my content,
mm-hmm.
or before I need to reach out to them.
Amen. What type of content do you post and how often?
Well, LinkedIn does have a little bit of a thing where they kind of penalize you for overdoing it in a day now.
Ah.
So I would say for the average person, you know, one post a day.
Okay.
Or two posts, but spread apart about 3 to 4 hours so the algorithm doesn't catch it itself on the back end.
Ah.
Now, if you're like me, I might post 3 to 10 times a day.
Okay.
To me, at this point, it doesn't matter because I'm about quantity of volume, you know, of reaching people at this point. Mm-hmm. But when you're just doing it for business or just doing it, you know, casually to grow a little bit, I would say don't overdo it. Just follow the kind of the one post a day. Video's best. Second best is text. Ask questions in your comments or mm-hmm. in your posts. And a big no-no, don't post links in your post. Otherwise, LinkedIn will severely say no because they don't want you to leave LinkedIn.
Ah.
So the trick around that currently, until they close the loop, is you post, there's two ways actually. You can post and then you say link in comments and then you put the link in the comments. The other way around it is to go back about a half hour after you posted it and edit the link or edit the post and add the link in. And typically you don't get penalized at that point because it's already kind of gone through the algorithm parameter stuff.
And been posted to everyone's feeds and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they click on it, though, they get the updated, version.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So, is this something that, again, anyone can go in and do, because it's a professional, atmosphere there? Should they already have a business? I mean.
So LinkedIn kind of has two purposes. A lot of people just trying to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then the professionals typically are the two dominant there. So I would say have a presence regardless, go in. Builds, even if it's just to, a placeholder, so somebody else can't have your name, whatever it is, but I would go in, set up a profile. And then when you are ready to grow or build a business or find that next job, you already have something there. But then I would obviously do the, thing I talked about, having a professional picture. You know, once you have your plan of your action plan, then I would really go in and, really niche down your profile and really go after, whatever career you're trying to go pursue.
Amen. Amen.
Or so ministry or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And grow in the church or something like that. Relationship though is really the name of the game. That's how successful businesses basically became successful in the first place, even before the age of social media, is establishing relationships. Brick and mortar, you needed someone to come in and buy the tires. So you had to have that relationship established. Someone who needs bananas for breakfast is not going to walk into a tire store. So you have to market to who needs tires.
Correct.
And so that's, I think that's where a lot of people are messing it up. They want to reach everyone, who are you trying to reach? Everybody.
Right.
And then they end up marketing to nobody.
Everybody. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody actually, gets it.
Yeah.
I tell people that a lot, it's not any different than, for the most part, it's not any different than when you go to a networking meeting and you shake people's hands or you try, selling to anywhere, it's the same thing. You have to, be knowledgeable, know what you're talking about, know who you're talking to and build a relationship, build trust because people buy from who they trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. And
it's no different online.
I had one person describe it, you go to conferences, I go to business conferences and things like that. If you just want to say, I went to one conference every week and, 12 of them were comic book conferences, but you're an encyclopedia salesman, Well, you just basically wasted your time, because you're not going to sell too many encyclopedias to comic book attendees.
Right.
Attendees, yeah. So you have to, you know, that idea of niching down, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a generalist, you know, a general practitioner. You know, would you want open heart surgery by your, you know, general practitioner, or do you want to go to someone that this is all they do is heart surgeries, you know?
Yeah.
So, and guess who makes the most money? The heart surgeon, right? So the specialist.
And that's something I struggle with personally, because I want to help everybody. You know, that's just kind of my heart. You know, I want to be there for people, and I do probably way too much free stuff for some, you know, friends and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I run a digital agency, and we do technically all forms of, you know, Google ads, Facebook ads, website, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But what we basically have done is I don't do it all. I have a graphic designer that is amazing, that works with that. I have another person that works with website. So my company kind of, it makes it a little hard for marketing, because I do tend to shotgun a little bit. And I know better, and I still do it. So I know a lot of other people do it too. And luckily, the way our business structure is, I do actually have a specialist in each piece. But when I go to market, I have to really focus in on one piece of that puzzle. So, you know, so I have to run different marketing campaigns for each.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, you talked about outsourcing a little bit. So let's ask about that. You know, how can I phrase this? Outsourcing some aspects of the business. Obviously, you know, you're not just going to turn over everything. Hey, I'm going on vacation. See you next year type thing. you know, I've grown our radio ministry really to the point now where trying to do everything for everyone is actually holding me back. You know, because I don't have enough time to do everything, to do it quality anyway. Yeah. And I've come to the point where I'm, you know, reaching out, and I'm, you know, getting information and proposals and stuff for virtual assistants to, you know, to free me up from the routine tasks that I can teach somebody to do at one time and then, you know, be done with it. Because that's where I spend most of my time, is on the routine stuff on a daily basis. And then I can focus again on growing. Do you see a lot of that?
Yes, tons. I think all of us business owners, once we get to a certain point, start struggling with that. And I want to say 5 email accounts, and that seems like 30 to 100 and some emails a piece.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Just to get through the junk, I have to spend an hour and a half, you know.
Yeah. I'm going through that box all the time, every day. You know?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of looking at a virtual assistant myself to just filter out all my, you know, what emails have to actually be dealt with and which ones are like, you know, maybe someday I should look at them or type stuff, you know. But I do hire out a ton of stuff. I use Upwork, Freelancer, Fiverr, and I hire out a ton of different little pieces. Sometimes I find a gem in there that like just, you know, like promoting a, I promoted for music, a professional musician, and we got like, you know, 500,000 hits on a YouTube video for the other day. But, you know, but I found that I was able to find people on Fiverr that have like their little niches that like they have this, they're like part of a, you know, a certain Facebook groups that I'm not a part of, that I haven't had time to join. And I can hire 10, 15 of these guys to just post a couple pieces of content for me and help generate some virality through, you know, Facebook. And they do, I have a guy that'll do it on Twitter, and then another, you know, and we kind of hit multiple, you know, try to get that kind of that feel of a, you know, $1 billion marketing campaign for less money.
Amen. Yeah. For the radio station, I use Fiverr for some voiceovers for the different radio programs, and I try not to use the same guy. You know, some are women, some are guys, you know, because I want each one to be unique to that ministry type thing. But yet when it comes to my voiceover programs, I use the same person every time. So I just love the quality of the voice and all that. Plus it gives consistency to my message. It's the same person, you know.
Yeah.
I think so. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Branding right there.
That's yeah. Amen. So what advice would you give someone when it comes to, you know, maybe using a freelancer or VA to help scale their business?
Yeah. Well, it just be aware that you are going to get burned sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, really check the references that they give you. So a lot of times what you'll do is you'll end up getting freelancers that are actually part of an agency, which I'm not opposed to. But a lot of times you don't realize that when you talk to the person, you might not be talking to the same person every time. So you have to be a little bit careful and kind of, you know, the best ones seem to be the ones that are actually working out of their house, you know, and in down in Arizona or something, or they're out and, you know, there's you can find some amazing people overseas too, though. I mean, I've had some, a few people from the Philippines that just do absolutely amazing work, you know, for, you know, less than I can hire somebody local to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but really just go, you know, pour through their references, make sure, ask quality questions, you know, ask several questions, and then jump on a FaceTime or a Zoom call or something and kind of interview that person and kind of, you know, almost grill them a little bit just to make sure it's the right person. And then I usually like to give them a test project,
mm-hmm.
not the big project, but like the preview to that big project.
Yeah.
Have and see how their work is. And then if that's great, then typically you're pretty safe.
Yeah. I know one person, this is probably 2-3 years ago, that I was working with. And he went on, I want to say Fiverr, and he put out, you know, he was, you know, wanting some type of article written on such and such thing. And he gave them the outline and said, you know, I want, you know, 750 words, you know, da, 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 and sent out like 10 of them. So yeah, it may have cost them, you know, 50, 60 bucks to get 10 of the same report back in, but then he could go through and he could see, you know, the ones who actually gave thought to it and could articulate and he narrowed it down to like three. It went from 10 to like three. And then he personally interviewed the three and worked out the details and even then I think he hired two of them. They'd be doing different projects, but you know, he was so impressed with it. He hired two of the ones that he ended, you know, of his finalists. So
yeah.
And that's good advice.
I don't talk about this very often, but how I made the bulk of a lot of my money over the years was I published over 200 books on Amazon Kindle. I didn't write them. I basically mm-hmm. I went out and hired freelancers to write some really? Short stories, or I republished previous books that were out of copyright. So I basically rebrought them back into the market and, you know, added a bibliography and mm-hmm. Maybe some new images or, you know, revamped it up a little bit. But yeah, I worked with a ton of freelancer writers. And then I found you could take some out of copyright books, republish them, but then translate them into another language. So now you have a new book.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's, definitely a whole industry right there.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Taking notes as we go here. obviously, you specialize in helping businesses, and you have an awesome setup, and you specialize in helping businesses find those hidden dollars. Okay.
I do. Yeah.
Do you recommend that people and businesses have a mentor that they can rely on, given that independent, you know, perspective? Instead of being deeply involved, as they come in and say, "Why are you doing this? Yeah, this doesn't make sense," type thing.
Yeah, I absolutely think everybody should have a business coach or a mentor or a, you know, rich uncle or whatever it is that's already done a lot of successful things that they can, you know, be mentored. You know, just you know, the Bible talks about having multiple counselors or
mm-hmm. yeah.
Amen. It just makes so much sense to not step on the same landmines that they've already.
There you go. Yeah. Amen. So, including churches. You know,
absolutely.
The problem I find is a lot of pastors don't really want to associate with other pastors because, you know, and help them, you know, let's say this one's having a special meeting or something. They don't really want to, you know, promote it in their church and go help because they're afraid of losing people, you know, and it's like they're in competition in the community or something. Instead of everyone working, you know, does it matter if they go to your church or the other church? As long as they're going to church and promoting the Bible and serving God, they're making an impact in the community. I mean, it's not a competition. You know, and sometimes I'm able to communicate that, and sometimes, you know, they just don't want to hear it. You know, but I know here in our community, there's two prayer groups that I'm a part of. And, you know, one is meets on a monthly basis. The other one meets every 2 weeks. And it's just so amazing when you get 10 or 12 pastors from different faiths, different denominations, different churches, they come in and they're all praying for each other and for the community. And, you know, they're actually working in the community. They're impacting the community because they're working together. You know, I remember this one church just opened up, and they came in and you know, there's a couple of the pastors went in and they gave them furniture, they gave them advice on how to, you know, grow and do this stuff. So they're not made, like you said, they're not making the same mistakes. They're not stepping on the same landmines that they've already defeated 10 years ago. Amen.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause you know, if there's a disaster in the community, all of a sudden we all come together. Why not do that ahead of time?
You know, exactly.
You know, be proactive. And I struggled with that a little bit too, because, you know, I'm kind of like, well, what if, you know, all these other LinkedIn gurus, you know, out there, you know, what if they, you know, steal my stuff or, you know, all this stuff. But I let go finally, because I kind of struggled with it for a little while. But once I let go and I started talking to these other guys, they're having the same problems with marketing, and they're having, you know, and, you know, and we're sharing tips back and forth, and now we're all doing better.
Yeah, amen.
Massively helped my business. Yeah. Some of the LinkedIn, you know, gurus out there, they all have their own little piece. Like, some work with just the recruiting side of pieces. Some of them work with just video. Some of them work with, you know, and now it's like, well, I don't even help this person and I'm afraid to lose them, but I can't serve them anyway. So now, because I opened up, I'm able to say, oh, this person over here does the exact, you know, like, I don't usually do with LinkedIn ads. Now, my does, but that's how I added LinkedIn ads into my offering, because the guru, the number one LinkedIn ad guy that does just ads specifically, now he's one of my partners that I basically hand business to and say on my behalf.
Amen.
I wouldn't have had the relationship if I was afraid he was going to steal something.
That's right. Amen. Well, as we get ready to close, I do have a question that has been floating around the back of my mind the whole time we've been talking.
All right.
Could you tell us about the time you jumped into a cougar den at the zoo and what you learned from that experience?
Oh, my goodness. That was a while ago. Okay.
I just had to ask that.
Yeah, no, that's right. I didn't know you knew about that. So anyway, so I was at the zoo with my daughter. I think I only had one at the time now. It's been a while here. And basically, we were, and my wife and sister and mom. But anyway, we were at the zoo, and all of a sudden I heard this blood-curdling scream. And I turn around, and there's this kid that was leaning too close to the cougar thing, and apparently the fence was kind of this flexible material, and so the cougar pushed the fence out, was able to reach through with one paw, grab the kid, and pull it back towards their jaws. And I turned my kid, somehow I knew to turn my kid away so they couldn't see, and I sprinted, ran, I don't remember how far it was, but I jumped the fence and jumped into the cougar area. And so now, to be fair, there was a fence between me and the cougar. It wasn't one of those big open pit ones where I was like going to jump in for, you know, to join them for dinner, and I was dinner. But there were two cougars in there. I only know where one was. So I was, you know, there was definitely some risk to me, but it probably wouldn't have been death. It would probably been just maimed or something. But anyway, I jumped the fence, ran over, and all I was thinking was I'm just going to kick this cougar in the face, or his arm, kick his arm so that I can break the kid free. And the kid's dad also had jumped up there because it was his kid. And when I was maybe, I don't know, a foot away or something, the dad was able to break the kid free from the claw. Mm. So I didn't need to be there anymore. So I jumped up. I realized really quickly, like, I don't want to be here anymore. So I got out of there. But luckily, the kid just had some lacerations.
That's good.
It was just a scary situation. And I kind of learned, you know, I'm the fight person, not the flight person, apparently.
Yeah, amen.
I really hadn't experienced to know that before.
I read that and I was like, that is so interesting. I was like, I'm just going to throw it out there and surprise you with it.
Yeah. So it made me think, you know, if I'm willing to do that for somebody else's kid, you know, what am I willing to do for my own kid? And kind of, so I kind of do use that occasionally in the back of my head, just as motivation is like, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. willing to die for my kids. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to do.
Amen.
And for them. So.
Amen. Well, Jess, if someone wanted to get a copy of your book, it's on Amazon as well as through your website, correct?
Yep. Yep. That's the, yep. Absolutely.
All right. And if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, perhaps a business wants to ask about your services or to ask you to come and speak to their group, how can they do that? Yeah. How can someone get in touch with you?
I would say go to LinkedIn and connect to me there, but say that you are through the podcast here so that I accept your invitation.
Okay.
And that's the number one easiest way. You can go to jesstiffany.com. It's actually I broke my security thing on it, so I got to fix that today, but it should be up shortly. But jesstiffany.com, there's a contact form on there as well.
Amen. Amen. Folks, growing your business does not have to be hard. If you have someone who can help you scale and show you how to do it, it's not hard. The work will still be up to you, but with that extra set of eyes, you'll be able to see things that were right in front of you all along, but hidden. And a whole lot easier to see when they point them out to you. Jess Tiffany has the experience and the resources to help you do just that. Go to the links down below, order his book, and start there. And if you want to get more information on possibly bringing Jess Tiffany into work with your business, be sure you go down the links below and request the information. If you do not do that one simple thing, clicking the link and asking, then you'll simply remain at the level that you're at right now, or grow a lot slower than what you could. Just click the links and find out. It's that simple. Jess, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the program today, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Jess, Tiffany, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster. only a Christian can become a faith caster. Faith Casters, your voice, your platform, your success.